Welcome to Let's Talk Golf. I'm your host, Penny Gaylor. Hello, everybody. I'm Penny Gaylor, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Golf. And today's special guest, Gareth Morgan. Welcome into the show. Thank you for coming on and to have a yarn about the Morgan's Golf Course.
Oh, thanks, Penny. Nice to be here.
Oh, great. And so, look, I know, you know, you probably wear a lot of other hats that people know of. Golf. What's your connection to golf? Where does this come from that you are here talking about a golf course?
Well, this particular property is the Paratanui Golf Course, used to be, and that was formed by volunteers, community volunteers, way back in the 60s, late 60s. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, and it sort of peaked near the end of the 70s, I think, or midway through the 80s, perhaps. And it got disrupted by two things. One was the introduction of drink driving.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's a country course.
Yeah.
And they used to take, I'm told, I don't know if this is true, but anyway, they used to take more money over the bar than through the green fees or the memberships.
Yes.
And that was great in the heyday of, you know, lax rules around drink driving. But once that got tightened up, the constituents got a bit gun-shy, I think. And so what happened was they started to face dwindling membership. I used to play here, actually, in the early 70s, and it was a bit of a goat track in those days. I sort of loved it because it was really cheap, and, you know, we were pretty broke in those days, and I lived in Parramatta, so it was pretty close.
Yeah.
So I always had a bit of a thing for this course, and even when I moved into town, I would come out here and play. But it got to the point, we were playing midweek near the end of the, just before I bought it. And actually, if I came in here and there was another car in the car park, I got quite offended because it felt like a crowd.
Yeah.
So that's how underutilized it was. And I think near the end there, they were down to about 60 members. Which really is not viable for that sort of model. And so they had to close it down. And so they merged, that club merged with Wellington Royal. So in effect, Wellington Royal took it over. And so I rang up Royal and I said, what are you going to do with this? I mean, you've already got three, you know, how greedy can you be sort of thing. And they said, oh, we just want the money. And I said, oh, can I buy it then? And so the deal was done. Now, on the other side of that deal, I had been under a bit of pressure because up until that point in my leisure time, I'd been spending it riding motorbikes around the world with Joanne, my wife. But then COVID came and we couldn't do that anymore. And so I was a bit of a loose end and I sort of followed her around the garden for a few weeks with the wheelbarrow.
So you needed a bigger garden.
And you can imagine what happened there. Got told effectively to naff off, go and get my own garden.
Yeah.
So that was the pressure from the other side, opportunity on this side. So we bought the course. I bought the course and went home to Joanne and said, well, I've got a garden. It's pretty big, but it is a garden.
I'm going to need a bigger wheelbarrow.
That's right. And that was the start of this journey. And within a month or 6 weeks, the farm next door came on the market as well. So I bought that as well. And, you know, neighbour's property only comes up once in your lifetime.
Absolutely.
So it's quite exciting.
Yeah.
So we've ended up with a couple of hundred hectares here. And so the next challenge was, what on earth do I do with it? And I've been digging ever since, and I'm still digging. So, you know, it's a big project.
Yeah. So, I heard the rumour that you're actually one who gets in there and does the digging around. Is that right?
Well, it certainly started like that, but with advancing years and the size of the job getting ever bigger, I obviously had to get some help. And so at the moment, we've got a lot of people here doing all sorts of things from, connected to both the golf course and the sculpture park that's next to it.
So is the sculpture, because now having played there a number of times, and for those of you who've no doubt spotted it as you're driving along the Transmission Gully, when you're in there, it's quite a different experience. It's a very peaceful place, and you see the sculptures, but then you're in there, and it's like it then really has context what you're seeing with the sculptures. So, how on earth, why on earth would you think, oh, well, yeah, and I'll put a sculpture park in there? What was that about?
That was just a moment of madness, I would say. But it's continued. So we got the first one up, which is Touchdown, the Big Feather. And I thought, this is really awesome. So I've just kept going. And we've got 10 up now, big ones, and another five going up this summer. And I think we'll get to 15 or 17, something like that. And then the big trail will be finished.
And so
But
talk us through,
also, we, sorry.
oh no, I was just going to say, and talk us through the actual sculptures, and then we can get back onto the actual golf course itself for those who might be interested in wanting to play. But the sculptures, you've got a track that goes around, and
Yeah, so there's a trail that we've built around the sculptures because it's 4.5 Ks around that trail. So it's quite a walk for people up and down. And sure, I mean, the fit ones can do it, but 90% of people won't be able to do that very comfortably. So we've now got these, bought these cruisers. And so we take people around on these guided tours in these 5-seater or 6-seater cruisers. And they get the whole history of each sculpture and, how it's been built and so on, and the engineering challenge with this wind that we get here and so on. So, that's its own experience, really. And meanwhile, I'm down the bottom playing golf.
Lovely, lovely. No, it's unique, and I don't know. I haven't really come across a sculpture park anywhere else before, but brilliant. And it just, as I say, when you're in there playing, it's another part of the really interesting landscape that you're looking at. Have you got a favourite piece?
Oh, no. I mean, on a day like today, where it's really windy, probably my favorite would be Morpheus because it's kinetic, it moves. That's the orange one. It's twisty, on a calm day, it just stands upright, looks, and we call it, affectionately, the prawn kebab. But when the wind is going, she's like it is now, it's just whirling and twirling on the top. So it definitely catches your eye. So on a windy day, that one, but on a calm day or at night, actually, in the half light, it would definitely be Touchdown, which is a huge sculpture. I mean, it's 25 ton, that thing. With a ton of paint on it and 146 ton, or 142, I think it is actually, ton of concrete and steel in the hill to hold it there. So it looks like it's just, a feather blowing down the valley. So that's all good fun.
But pretty much the concrete of a wind turbine almost to hold it in
Yeah,
position.
yes. Or the hill really contains a small commercial building to
Just
support it.
snuck in there. And actually the other, when I've also gone there and interested to see the amazing terraced lawn bit where you can then have, you've got an amphitheatre where you have events then, which would be amazing. I haven't been to one of those yet, sorry, but that you would then look up out across the golf course as you were listening to whatever the gig was.
Yeah, that's right. And we haven't done outdoor concerts here yet, but that amphitheatre will hold 1,200 people. And so we're looking forward to doing that. We've just been consolidating the earth, actually, because we had to build that. So we do have a lot of concerts here, but we have them in the old clubhouse, which only takes about 100 people. But, it's its own experience, very intimate with these artists. It's fantastic.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. Oh,
And
God.
then there's even a
Haven't
golf
stopped.
course. So I hit you up about the golf course now. So did, I mean, if I was cynical, I'd think, hey, was there a hole that he really didn't like? So that's why he bought it. So he's like, oh, I'm gonna show that number five and I'm gonna redo that hole. No, nothing like that. What do you love about the course?
Well, the course is very different to when I used to play here in the 70s, because when Transmission Gully was the side of the pond. It comes right through the course. So it took two holes off the end. And so NZTA had to built the club, bought some land off the farm next door and built the club a couple of extra holes, including the notorious number two, which is the par four. But it's pretty difficult
It
because that
is.
second shot on the fairway, you've
Yes.
got to go across the wetland and there's no room to roll it into the green. So you better know what you're doing. Otherwise, you'll find you're on a seven or worse getting into that hole.
Yes. It's a very, it's one of the ones where you go, now get my course management right. And when I played it last time, I'm really happy to say after third time, I got my course management right. But it was really, it's kind of exciting to play it because you're going, I'm going to show it. I can do this. And actually how I structured my shots to get there and over that big wetland to land on the green. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's a that swamp or that wetland. I mean, one day we will drain that swamp and it will be full of golf balls, I'll guarantee it.
I have about
Actually,
three there.
yeah, already, and you're
Oh,
just starting
already.
out. Excellent. Keep coming back. And we've got a when we bought the course, it had this notorious hedge. That I remember, it was a huge hedge, you know, it was, I don't know what it would have been, 3 or 4 meters high and equally across. And it was, I've forgotten what it was made of, but it's like a Barbary hedge. So if your ball went in there, you couldn't really retrieve it without being scalped. So that was the thing I hated about the course. And some people loved it about the course. So it was very polarizing hedge. Eleagnus, that's what it was made of, that's the name of the hedge. Anyway, it's very long, the whole length of the fairway. So I said, right, we're getting rid of that. So we pulled it out and we held a competition for the number of golf balls
All
that
right.
we would
Oh.
retrieve. And nobody got anywhere near it. I think the highest bid we had was 2,000 or something like that, golf balls. Anyway, it was 10,500 golf balls before we gave up. And so we got all those golf balls and washed them all in nappy sand. And some of them were amazing. Like there was a 1974 Christchurch Commonwealth Games ball. You know,
Wow.
remember Dick Taylor winning that
Oh,
race?
yeah.
So there was 50 years, basically, of wayward shots in that hedge, including a club, a number seven, which is in my golf ball bag. I call it that my seven hedge. And it's one of my favourite
Oh,
clubs, actually, and
so
it came
what?
out of the hedge. It
Oh,
was
okay.
thrown in there in frustration.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So a bit of
That's
history.
a great yarn, isn't it? Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
no,
That's
it
staggering a number of balls. Staggering.
was just so we've got all those balls here
Yeah.
still. I'm not sure what we'll do. We might do something like a Lake Taupo type competition, you know, where you hit the ball
Oh, yeah.
into the swamp or something. I'm not sure,
Yes,
but
who
we've got them
knows?
all here
Yeah.
anyway, and more nice and shiny now, so that's
Oh,
good.
beautiful, beautiful. Well, I have to say, when I've played there, you know, you've got a greenkeeper or how many staff do you have working there? Because I see there's
Well, at the
action, it's
moment,
beautifully
permanent
kept. Yeah.
staff, we've got quite a few. We've got six or seven here at the moment. And that's because the course is a bit bigger than it was now. We've actually got 11 holes because the par five, the number seven, it's a long way back up that hill. And so we had a practice fairway beside it, which we've now called 7A and 7B. So they're two par threes with very tricky greens on them for people as an alternative. So there's that. And then there's a lot of lawns and things like that around the place, and especially around the sculptures. So we've had to get quite a lot of staff on board. And of course, we've done a lot of planting. This side of the motorway, this side, so that's what, the western side of the motorway. Around the lower farm and the golf course, we've already planted 70,000 native plants. So that's a lot of plants to look after and
Yeah.
maintain. And they're growing really well. But it just adds to the peaceful nature of the place, which is the whole point of this course.
Yes, no, it's that's the lovely thing about going out on a golf course, and you can, you know, always have the beautiful landscapes, the peacefulness of it. I think there's something very therapeutic about walking on grass. And
Yeah, I agree with that. And with space, and without somebody yelling from behind you, get a move on.
No,
So we
yeah.
hear 20 minutes between tea times, which is quite unique.
Yes.
And we're pretty strict about it. And that's all about giving people space so that they're not under pressure. And so for a lot of people who are learning the game or want to be perfecting the game and take their time and play a couple of shots or whatever, there's plenty of time for that because we only have 3 tee offs per hour maximum. So that makes it a very different experience to a normal club course that's volume driven, of course, lots of people all the time.
And
quite different.
And your new practice nets, good, they're good. I've got a few, you know, did a nice little warm up there, and then you kind of go, oh, right, is this where the tee off is? And you go, no, I said to my mates the other week, no, that's the guy's one. Down there is ours. So we were like, phew.
You play the short course, yeah.
Yeah,
that first tee on the long course, it's quite intimidating. I've actually seen people turn around and walk away before they even got going because they just went, there's no way I can get over that.
That stream.
Those willow trees and over that river and over the road and onto that fairway. That's impossible. And, you know, so something for everyone here. It's not that hard.
And again, that first hole, it's a lovely dog leg to the left and you got another stream to, like, go over. And when one of my companions had put a ball in there and we were like, oh, and then we go, oh, it's on the edge, that's good. But looking at the water, it was so clear. It was just beautiful.
Yeah. It varies. That water all comes from the hill, which is our property on the other side of the gully. So it's all out of springs on the hill, and down it comes, and then eventually it is the Waitaki Stream. It winds its way and ends up in Pauwatoa Nui Inlet.
Yeah.
So, no, it's a lovely piece of water.
Well, there's all of the holes are quite different from when I've played them, and like as you say, having to even like the first tee off, you know, if you're a chap, you have to kind of go right back and go over that first bit of wetland there. So game on, and the greens. I thought the greens ran really well.
Yeah, we've had a lot of compliments about the greens, and our aim has been to get them pretty fast. And, you know, that presents its own challenges because some of those greens have got a bit of a slope on them and, you know, before you know it, you're back down on the fairway if you get that wrong. But, yeah, the greens here, generally speaking, are quite large as well. So they're an experience in their own right. The course is actually, you know, when they built it, it's a fantastic site because it's got a gentle slope, as you know, that runs up from the clubhouse, runs up to the west, towards Transmission Gully, actually. And so that means that it naturally drains. And so as part of the revamp of the course, when they did Transmission Gully, they rebuilt quite a few of the greens, and the greens are actually a sand cone. And at the bottom of the cone, there's a drain pipe which runs all the way down the hill back into the irrigation system. So when you irrigate the drains or the greens or fertilize them, all the fluid that drains through the sand comes back down the pipes and into the system again and goes around again. So it's not only ecologically, you know, pretty efficient, it just means that the course is dry.
Yeah.
So it's one of the few courses in Wellington that's dry all winter, which is, you know, quite a feature, really.
Oh, wow. Okay, no, it certainly was, third time I had a better round, I have to say. But I got the hang of some of them, and it just, you know, that lovely, now what is it, the 1, 2, 3, the fourth when you go right up the hill.
Up the hill, yeah, up to the rainbow bridge.
And it can look a bit daunting, but actually I've never had it run down, you know, because you don't get a lot of the kind of steep hills like that around courses around Wellington that I've found.
No, a lot of them are dead flat, of course. And in fact, around New Zealand, most courses are pretty flat, you know. Yeah. One thing we don't have here is we don't have any bunkers. You would have noticed that.
I loved
that. And part of that's come from the greenkeepers who say, for God's sake, don't put bunkers in there. It's such a pain to maintain. And anyway, you've got enough swamps to swallow everybody's ball. Mm. So we've stuck with that. You know, a lot of water hazards, but no sand hazards.
Mm. I'd be happy with that, yeah. Hate bunkers. Hate me. So you know your story with golf. How long have you played?
I've played probably my whole life. I'm no good, but so there you are. There's hope for everybody. And actually, I'm quite unusual in the sense that I've never had a handicap, and I don't play stroke play. Never have. I just count the number of pars.
Yeah.
I get when I go around the course, and if I get, you know, on a nine holer, if I get, you know, three, four, five pars, I go, yeah, that was
day.
A great round.
Yeah.
If I don't get any, I go, that was terrible. So, and I find that more relaxing than stroke, because I'm not a competitive golfer.
Yeah.
I just play it for pure joy, and for, as you said before, for the time out and the relaxation is, of the course. You know, you're walking, you're basically going for a walk with a golfer, and it's pretty cool.
And I would have to, it's probably even higher than this, but 99% of the golfers in the world must be realistic that we're not competitive players. We're not, you know, professionals or even probably playing in some sort of club into club or league or whatever. But it's just the enjoyment,
the
companionship.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a specific form of golf that actually is the most common. And that's, in a lot of ways, the problem with golf, and that it's locked out so many people because they don't want to be in a competition. You know, to me, there's three different types of golf courses. You've obviously got your championship courses, which are for the real guns, very long and all the rest of it, tight. Then you've got your social courses, which are the bulker courses, which, you know, have a lot of club activities. And into club and all that sort of stuff. And then you have these courses increasingly that tend to be smaller. So they tend to be nine holers like this one, and they tend to be retreats. They're really focusing on your well-being as opposed to throwing you into a competitive environment. And I remember somebody here said to me once, why do you always play the short course? What you just called the women's, which, by the way, you're not allowed to say that anymore. The short course versus the long course.
Okay.
And they said to me, why do you always play the short course? And I said, because I've never managed to get a par round on the long course yet. You must be really good. In the conversation.
Yeah. Now they're just Gumby and they've realised they hadn't worked that out. Yeah. Gorgeous. So I always ask people when I'm interviewing them, whether it's about them talking what their job of a CEO at a club or whatever, if you could have a round of golf anywhere in the world, including your own, that's okay, where would it be and who would you want to do the round with?
Oh, well, where it would be St Andrews, definitely, in Scotland. And I have played up there in Scotland quite a few of the courses, but not that one, just because of the history of the place. Who would I like to play with? Well, I don't really mind, as long as it's, you know, it's just good fun with them. You know? I couldn't play with a proper golf player. It'd be really embarrassing for both of us.
Was there anybody you follow who's a professional golfer? You know, like the whole.
Yeah. No, I'm a bit of a sports nut anyway, so I follow most sports, or a lot of sports. So I've always followed the top echelon of golf. And I, you know, really enjoy watching the Masters and all that top level stuff.
Yeah.
But below that, I'm, you know, I turn off a bit. Haven't got time for that. For all the tryhards.
Yeah. Oh, I love it because, again, you know, I was watching the Dubai ones recently, and there you're going, wow, look at that course. Completely different from what I've ever played on. And then looking at the landscape of Dubai, you go, this is crazy, crazy, interesting. And
Yeah. Be a great thing to, you know, go and do a trip, just go around courses. And I've done that too in Ireland and Scotland, where you just play the country courses. And they're fantastic, like Galway and so on, places like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely hobby to have.
I had a trip last year and I got to play a round of golf in Italy. And I ended up playing, I got paired up with the Swiss couple, and it was just so cool asking them about where they play, and they seem to play around Europe a lot. And, you know, we're really lucky how accessible golf is in New Zealand.
We sure are. And there's lovely country courses all around New Zealand. They're fantastic. Mm. No pressure. Nobody on them, you know. It's great. May it last.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Well, hey, look, thank you so much for sharing all that. Love the yarns and... you know, very encouraging. I mean, you know, if anybody's interested in playing at the Morgans, the website, you go on there and you can do your booking, easy as.
Automatic.
Really good system for the booking, thanks. And really good facilities for, you know, when you cruise up, do your warm-up, the parking system and all that. It's really good. And it just is very, very different from other courses, which is, the variety is really fun, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the point, really.
Yeah, cool.
Different experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, awesome. And so, look, thank you so much, Gareth. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you and have a yarn. So thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Let's Talk Golf. Good luck out there.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.